May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading of his holy word. One of the most popular films of winter 2013 has been Les Miserables. Has anybody ever seen it? Have y'all seen it? It's fantastic, by the way, in my opinion. There are some scenes I don't like, but most of it is fantastic. And it has been a very famous novel, as you know, about the French Revolution for years and years. It was on Broadway. I remember my parents took us for my mother's birthday years ago. And I remember all of us, even my brother-in-law, who had never been to a Broadway show, let alone a musical, were crying, at least, you know, bawling on our way out the door because of the whole impact of the story of Jean Valjean. Of course, it's a very sad story, if you've ever read it or know it or seen it. It's about a man and his misfortune. One of the characters in the story also has a very sad life to share about, and her name is Fantine. She's left alone after she is unemployed, and she finds herself in a very, very sad state of affairs. She is a daughter who needs money and resources to survive. And when we witness her in the movie in particular, it's a very emotional scene where she has reached the lowest of low points, and she sings a beautiful and troubled song called "I Dreamed a Dream." If you listen to the words and the lyrics, even especially sung by Anne Hathaway, of all people, who knew she had such a great voice, but when she sings it, she sings of heartache. She sings the words telling us that days have gone by, and she used to dream, and she used to be excited about life, and she used to look forward with hope to what tomorrow might bring. And then she shares her pain. And she says the tigers come at night, and they tear your hopes apart, and they turn your dreams to shame. And she sings how she dreamed her life would be different, so different from the painful existence she knows. And she ends the song by singing very tragically, "Now life has killed the dream I dreamed." The Bible, if you know it well, is full of stories about dreamers. One of the most famous is, of course, Joseph, who could interpret dreams and knew all about them and was a very positive person in helping us to be spared from the famine, because he predicted that there would be years when there would not be a crop that would grow in the dreams that he had. And so people stored food and then were able to survive during a very severe famine. This passage in particular from today has always inspired me, for it's a passage that takes place near Pentecost. Anybody know what Pentecost is? The birthday of what?
The church.
The church. Excellent. Okay. So at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down and touches the people. And if you heard me at the beginning of the passage, they were going a little crazy. It was like the Holy Spirit came upon them and they just kind of went, right? Just like we always say here at Cornerstone when something amazing happens, right? And other people who are not part of the quote-unquote believers looked in on them and were like, whoa, you know what? They're drunk. And it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. What's going on, right? And of course, no. Luke tells us that indeed these are not drunk, as you suppose. For it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't really know if that's definitely a reason not to be drunk, but for this person's explanation, it is. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. Okay? Now, I don't know if you know this, but the whole of the Bible is connected to each other. Did you figure that out? Like, the Old Testament is not separate entirely from the New Testament. And in the prophet Joel, he tells us what will happen at, quote-unquote, the end times. And what he says is repeated here in Acts. And it talks about how in the last days, the Holy Spirit will be poured out upon flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. In other words, they will be able to predict and explain what will happen in the future in God's plan. And young men will see visions. And here's the part I want you to focus on. And old men shall dream dreams. When you get older in life, And sometimes you get to a point where you realize you have less life left on the earth than since you've been born, right? You start to think a little differently. You start to think about how you want to leave your legacy. You don't often have as many dreams. And yet, here, as it tells us what will happen at the end, our old men shall dream dreams. Now, I'm going to leave that just for a second, and I'll come back. But I want to ask you, have you ever seen that movie? It was really popular, actually, called Pretty Woman. Have you ever seen that movie? It's about, you know, of course, the craziest little story about this, you know, fairy tale life where this woman is kind of, once again, sort of like Fontaine, lost her way, right? And she's sort of working the streets. Anybody? Okay. Anyway, so she's there and she's in this profession that probably is not one she's proud of. And she comes across this very wealthy, very good looking man, right? And he kind of, you know, takes her under his wing. And in the process of the movie, it's a very romantic little story, right? She falls in love. But if you ever really listen to the movie, it starts at the very beginning in the streets of Hollywood. And there's this man who's running around, once again, kind of crazy looking, and he's got a big sign. Does anybody know what the sign says? What's your dream? Excellent. It's right. He's holding around. He goes, what's your dream? Everybody needs a dream. What's your dream? Right? He's running around like that, right? And sure enough, at the end of the movie, he comes back. And he says the same thing. It's really a movie, right? It's a fairy tale. But what is your dream? What do you want at the end of your life more than anything to be its purpose? Of course, we think about Martin Luther King Jr. on a day when we talk about dreaming, right? But let's think, first of all, of our own dreams. Sometimes dreams don't come true, right? I mean, I wish I could say they all do, whatever your wish might be. But we think, of course, of the people of Connecticut, right, who dream that their children would be safe in their elementary school, right? We dream that everybody will have a fair opportunity and that everyone will be treated equal within our United States of America, right? We would hope that everybody would be peaceful. We would hope that everybody would love one another, even though we're different. There's a guy named Rocky Buehler. Anybody into football? The Steelers? Remember Rocky? Yep. He wrote a book called Three Bricks Shy of a Load. In Pittsburgh, there's a whole expression of building and construction. I mean, that's like a lot of the whole Midwestern philosophy, and especially in Western Pennsylvania. And somebody that he knew owned a huge big brick company, and so this kind of stuck with him. Because to have a load of bricks, it means they all fit in nicely, right? I mean, they were all, like, you know, piled up, and everything was neat and tidy, and it looked very nice, and then it traveled well, because you could tie it all together. And I mean, those of you that are in building, you probably know more than me. But anyway, a load was something you longed for if you were in the brick business, right? Well, Rocky Buehler was a football player, and he was actually a pretty good one. He ended up with 4 Super Bowl rings. Okay, so that's something not to be shy about, right? But he said when he looked back on his life, he never really got where he wanted to be. He said he was always 3 bricks shy of a load. My dad was sharing with me last night that as he's nearing the end of his life, that he himself feels that he didn't do everything he wanted to do with the gift of his life. There was a French Jesuit whose name was Teilhard Chardin, and he was also a paleontologist and a theologian. And he studied bones, actually, for most of his life, which seems kind of interesting. And when he was doing that, he became very philosophical. And he explained his understanding of the world. He said there were basically 2 big buckets It's Laura's brother calling to say thank you for the prayers, right? Okay, two big buckets, right? And are you with me? Two big buckets, right? One bucket was for all the good that happens in the world, okay? And then one bucket of all the bad stuff. And he said when he looks at how the whole world works, sometimes it seems like the bucket of bad things is what? Overflow, okay? And it's just concentrated and we don't see anything good out of anything around us, right? Other times, it seems like the bucket of goodness is flowing everywhere and making us feel wonderful and happy and joyous and thankful and all good things. But this guy left us a really good advice. He said that the whole of the universe, all of God's time of which the world exists, is beyond us. And what we have to do is live our lives to the fullest and to be kind and good and gracious and thankful and loving. And every time we are like that, a little drop goes into the good bucket. And without realizing it, we could live our whole lives filling up that good bucket to overflowing. And it will make a huge difference at the end times of the bucket of evil. The other thing that this philosopher shared, who was also a theologian, is that God promises us in the gift of Christ that even though it may not seem like it sometimes, that the good bucket wins. In Revelation, that's really what Joel's talking about in his prophecy that is articulated in our Acts passage. We're probably not going to live to see the end of the world. I mean, we might. We don't know when it's coming, right? But what do you dream? How will you live your life? I encourage you to think about Martin Luther King Jr.'s words. He actually preached a sermon called Shattered Dreams. It's a little bit different than the one that he shared on the steps of the Lincoln. But he talked about how he has a dream that all of us start out building a temple of character, a temple of justice, a temple of peace. And so often we don't finish them. We just start to build them. And he said our dreams seem unfulfilled. First, let us notice, he says, that life is a continual story of shattered dreams, of people's stories that don't get the way they wanted them to be. But here's a beautiful thing he says. In the final analysis, God does not judge us by the separate incidents or the separate mistakes that we make, but by the total bent of who we are. And in the final analysis, God knows that his children are weak, that we are frail. And in the final analysis, what God requires is that our heart be right. That was what David was like in the Old Testament, if you know him. His heart was right before the Lord, even though he made lots of mistakes. And at the end of the day, as your pastor today, I would encourage you to dream that your heart would be right before our Lord, for now and forevermore. Amen.
Our closing hymn is going to be